Welcome to the A Dime Back Podcast with your host, Tyler Wilkinson.
I love it. All right, hey everybody, I'm Tyler. We're here for the latest episode of the A Dime Back Podcast. We're here, as always, with our producer, Alex.
Hey now.
And our staff writer, Megan.
Hello.
And Peter, who doubles as our announcer today.
Hey.
And we have a special guest today. We're joined by Allie Oriyama. Allie, how's
Hi.
It going?
Woo!
Thank you for joining us.
Yay!
So we have no real agenda, which
I know we
is
should
pretty
start
typical.
With Allie, my sister what? Wrote a piece about your dad.
I did.
So
you did, and I loved it. Oh yes.
So you would agree with the contention that your father deliberately just screws with everybody.
I mean, he's been messing with me and my brain since I was like, what, five?
I don't know.
That's, I think, as far back as I can remember.
Alex, how was she at piano lessons?
Yeah, since piano lessons. So, yeah, I think that it is completely appropriate. And I don't think he thinks about it before he does it. But I think it's definitely deliberate because he wants to make the attention go away from the team. And that's exactly what you said in the article. You were like, he doesn't want the pressure on the girls. And he's been doing that for years and years and years. The downside of that, obviously, is that everybody thinks he's the
villain.
Biggest, you know, asshole in the world.
In the world.
he doesn't really care. But
he's your dad and you care.
I care, yeah. I care. I used to care a lot more. Now I just am at that point where I just don't care because I know that a lot of people are dumb.
Yeah, that's true.
That's real true.
I've learned that.
Thank you,
and
Twitter.
And I think that is something where my personality has started to emulate him over the past couple
of
years. Yeah, I used to be a lot more like my mom. My mom could look at, like, the devil and see, like, oh, you know, there's this part of him that's really, you know, not that bad. Like, she's really good at seeing, like, the good in people. And my dad is, too. But then he'll just be like, I don't care about, you know, this person. A lot of people are idiots, whatever. And I've noticed over the last couple of years.
I think we have a cool quote.
I just don't, like.
A lot of people are idiots.
A lot of people in this
Gino
world,
Oriyama,
I'm like,
probably.
I don't even care what you think because you're clearly an idiot.
So. I'm not going to lie. You don't have to sell that to really any of us.
Yeah.
We're all
idiots,
some
yeah.
people are just really stupid.
They are.
So,
I just find it really entertaining, like, because we were talking about this, like, when he's your guy, you're like, yes.
Oh, I mean, he's my king god.
Yeah,
I mean, I
had this. It's a similar feeling to how it was with Calhoun when, you know, he's our guy. Like it was the same.
They were different.
They were very different. But they were loved by this state and reviled by everyone else.
Yeah, Jimmy's like, a little angrier.
Yeah, Jimmy's angrier.
Whereas,
yeah, he's. When you, it's funny because like when I see like my dad yelling at somebody, I'm just like, oh, whatever. Like sometimes I think it's really funny, which is probably bad. But like, I'll be watching him yell at someone. Like when we used to sit in back of him for like travel games and stuff,
yep,
and he'll just say, you know, horrible. Like he'll just be screaming, and me and my mom and my family will just.
Do you have like a good quote you could give us?
Oh God,
some courtside manner. If you will.
I remember, well, this is actually G-rated, shockingly. But
is this coat off? Coat
time,
off, Gino?
One time there was a bad play or, like, there was a travel or, like, I forget what happened. But he just turned to the bench and just all of a sudden just yelled, this is sick! Like, but not.
That's amazing.
I just remember thinking, that's the word you're going to use? And it just made me laugh so much. So, yeah, he just makes me laugh. Like, it's just, but with Jim, like,
you
when he yells
hurt
at people, I'm like, oh, God, he might murder someone.
Yeah.
He's terrifying.
Like there's a little spittle coming out of his mouth. Yeah.
I feel like Gino's got, he's got more of like a smirk while he's doing it. Just a little.
Yeah, and always he always ends it with like a slap on the butt, or like he'll just be like, all right, get back out there. Like he always like ends it with, okay, this is what we're gonna do.
So we're talking about like the history of women's basketball,
oh, yeah.
and where like we're
Here's really the crux of the question, is if we took, like, last year's team and had to play the 95 team.
Oh, God.
How bad would they smoke them?
They would... I love every single girl on the 95 team.
I mean, we do, too.
So much love.
We all do.
But...
it was a different game.
Just athleticism alone, this current team would beat them by 100. Just because... 100. Just because of the athleticism, how different the conditioning is and how different the weightlifting is and how different the game is. The game has gotten so much faster and all of that kind of stuff. So to me, it's a completely different sport. When you look back at all those old videos and you're like, my dad even says like they're, and like the players will be like, we were just a bunch of slow white kids just slow running up and down the court who knew how to play well together. And now you have
also
so
they
many,
were tall. They're a lot of tall.
They
girls.
Were super tall, really like leggy and lots of arms and they like just really gangly.
Two arms,
you know?
Each, I think.
Yeah. And but now you have, you know, people like Stewie who is very all arms and legs, but she also is building muscle on top of that. And so I think that just in terms of talent, they would destroy them. But it hurts me to say that because that team was like, oh, God. I remember that team so well, and I remember just being so overwhelmed by everything that was happening and being like, what?
Well, what were you, 9 years
old?
What were you, 9 or 10 years old at the time?
I was 9, yeah. And I remember when we won, going down onto the court and, like, seeing my dad. And not really – I had no idea what was going on. Like, I was just like, what? Like, what is happening? Like – It felt like a dream. Like, it just didn't feel like it was real. And I remember my dad, like, grabbing me and being like, can you believe it? We won. And I'm like, I have no idea.
Sometimes
what's
you win. I don't know.
Yeah, that's great.
Speaking of the UConn women's team beating someone by 100, why is your dad so much better at this than everybody else? Like, I wrote an article last season while they were beating the crap out of somebody. Somebody, like, pretty good, like Maryland, maybe?
Something like that, yeah.
And I remember during the game the lead got down to like 11 points and everyone was losing their minds. Like, oh my God. And it was at Maryland. Yeah. And I was like, this is what we're reduced to like, this is a tight game.
And meanwhile we're watching the men and rejoicing when they're up 11.
Yeah.
Like
yeah, it's stressful watching the men play.
Because sometimes they play badly.
Oh yeah, totally.
Real bad.
And
because you're just like, I remember I was watching them in the tournament and just being like, oh my God, what stop, like, what is happening? Like, I can't believe what's going on. And then when they would get up and it was just like, yes, but then you don't experience that with the women's team.
How does that happen? I mean, that's the thing, like, you never watch a game and go, wow, they played real bad tonight. Like, that just doesn't
well
happen.
That I think it's because I have such an eye for it because my dad, you know, and everything. I can see when we're playing really badly,
but you're still up by 20 points,
but we're up by like 40. Yeah.
So how,
and then
like,
why does that happen though? Why? How
well,
come
well,
no one's
liken,
any good?
But liken it to football. I mean, imagine if Barcelona came over and played in the MLS. And
but how? But that's Barcelona's salary structure is such that they can pay hundreds of million dollars.
But
they just
the
took Suarez.
I saw.
But that's the difference in quality.
But why is it? Why is it that big? Why are his players so much better and smarter? And why do they play so much
better?
Well,
I think he's a terrific recruiter. Clearly, I mean,
Brittany Griner didn't go to UConn.
But it's one of those.
Brittany Griner went to Baylor.
If she'd gone to UConn, she would have won 4 titles.
But yeah. It's one of those things where success breeds success. I mean, he got those first few titles. Recruiting probably became easier.
But other people have won championships.
But he's a more
too.
Magnanimous personality. He's
magnanimous.
I think what it is, I think it actually kind of boils down to something that is very simple, but at the same time, it's very difficult. He does not let anybody go through that program that is not willing to play at a level that is acceptable to him. And if you aren't willing to play at that level, you do not last.
Yeah.
And I think it's not just about the winning. He expects a style of play from his players.
It does look
that
real nice.
is at funny. A consistent level of perfection. And I don't think that any other team in the country, there are people that kind of go up and down and kind of are there, almost there, But there's no other team that consistently demands that you play at your best. And I think that's why a lot of these other teams don't last very long. Or if they get successful, and then they fall away. And then they get successful, and then they fall away. We've been consistent because we have this expectation of what it means to play at a certain level. And you push and you push and you push until you get to that level. And that's why there's a lot of teams out there that, as much as they want to get to that level, they can't, because they just don't have that work ethic. And it takes forever to get to that work ethic. Like, that's why he's so hard on everybody. He pounds you and he pounds you and he pounds you. And then you get to the end and he's just like, that's why he's so relieved at the end. And you're like, and you watch him like cry at the end of the Final Four. And you're like,
that was finally over.
That was adorable. I got misty. I got misty watching him get verklempt over Steph and Bria.
Me and my sister and brother were at a bar in Nashville after the game. And we were like, he cried. And they showed it on the TV and we were all like, what?
He didn't cry I was born.
What is happening?
It was
we were all kind of like, what is happening?
It was really cute.
Do you think women's basketball would be better off if more teams could compete at the same level as UConn?
Like, if we didn't win every game by double digits last season, is what you're saying.
Yeah, well, I mean, or is it better to have that trademark, that sort of dynasty, that one constant that you can point at if you're college women's basketball?
I think it depends. I think it's one of those things where you have to demand that other teams get on that level. And they're not.
So you're saying it's not so much about UConn sinking down. It's more about other teams rising up and
not ducking us.
Well, achieving that level of play.
Not ducking us and not, and being willing to work at a different level.
Like Duckett McGraw.
Oh, you just...
Oh, boo.
So
bad.
So, see, I kind of feel like, yeah, having a dominant team, having like a trademark team can be good, but like not when they don't play a single close game all year. Like, that's a little too much.
It's not like, but you can't put that on UConn.
Well, I'm not going to say you guys should start playing worse. That's not the point.
It's not like UConn played a soft schedule. I mean, their out of conference games were, they picked some solid games out of conference.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree with that. I mean,
no, they played all of the teams they should have played last year.
Just saying.
Tennessee, who's
I think I'm on the same page as Peter. Yeah. I think it would be sort of, it would elevate the sport a little bit. Even if there was four teams consistently good. But right now,
I agree with that.
I mean, it just seems UConn's in.
I mean, those UConn-Tennessee battles were epic.
Yeah.
Like, those were awesome games to watch.
I think that there are a couple of teams out there that are getting there. I think Louisville is consistently very good.
Yeah.
I think that Baylor, you know, they lost Brittany Griner and they're losing Odyssey Sims, but they're consistently very good. And I think that they just need to keep at that pace and keep working. And Notre Dame, I mean, issues aside, they're very good. They're very good.
I mean, they're probably the second best program in the country.
But that's like saying, you know,
we had the walk-ons finishing the national championship against an undefeated team.
That was awesome.
No, don't get me wrong. I watched the game with a friend of mine who went to Notre Dame, and like he's all kitted out in his Notre Dame stuff.
Who?
Tubes.
Ew.
Who admittedly the night before was rooting for UConn because he's a local kid, but like he just got so sad. And I'm like, I love it.
No, that was fun. I am a very I've wrote about this in my blog and a bunch of other things, but I struggle with anxiety and I'm a highly anxious person. And the day of the national championship game, I thought I was gonna throw up. Like, I was so nervous. And it didn't help that like the night before I was looking at stories on ESPN and I was up until 1:30 in the morning. Just, I didn't know whether or not I was going to have a panic attack or like punch someone. I was so mad and I was so nervous. And for the whole day on, on the championship day, I was like shaking. So by the time the game actually started, I was just like such a mess that I was like, oh my God, I just want us to win by 30. But at the same time, I didn't think we would.
I
honestly thought that it was going to be a close game. Like, I really did.
Part of me was kind of hoping for a close one, but then part of me was just like, no,
once,
let's
kill her face got hurt.
Yeah, it seemed unlikely.
Yeah, but like, then we went up by like 15 in the first half, and yeah. I was having
it was over in 5 minutes. Yeah,
like
yeah.
I know people are like, oh, what a great game that was when it's tight, and I'm like, God, I could watch blowouts all day.
Yeah, when it's
Steph
your team,
was just
it's really fun.
I was loving every second of it. I love.
She
that
had
girl.
A tremendous title game.
Who
she
were
had like 16 rebounds or something obscene like that. And
I didn't hear
like,
what you said.
Steph Dolson. Oh, God, I love her. Everyone loves her. You're not.
There's a couple of shots of the bench in that game where you can see my family and you just see my brother like screaming and
losing his mind.
My sister is jumping up and down. Megan Patterson was sitting next to me like shaking me.
I love that
I'm
image.
Like losing my mind. I'm like going into AFib. I'm like so excited. And then, so by the end of the game, I was so physically exhausted. I went to bed. I was like, I've had enough.
And I'm
going
spent.
To bed.
Yeah. So
it's a weird phenomenon.
No, I will say that there's only been a couple of times where I've like felt happiness at other people's sadness.
Shout it for you.
And it happened like last year during the championship and then like the year before the championship.
That's fair.
Both times that we've played. Well, no, not during the championship game in 2013, because I really do like Louisville and I like Coach Walls. The semifinal of that year, though.
Yeah. Who was that against?
I will say that I did a very extended happy dance around my apartment as
Notre
the clock
Dame.
Was going down. I was like doing a lot of like, yes, like show the sad faces. Like it was, I felt really bad for how like happy I was
don't feel bad.
You never have to feel bad
not
about enjoying
friends.
The misery of someone from Notre Dame
or Duke in our case.
Yeah, Notre Dame, Duke,
Syracuse. Enjoying Boeheim face after a defeating
Boston
them.
College.
Droopy dog.
Poor Jim Boeheim. I gotta say, Jim Boeheim is one of my dad's good friends. So,
oh, really?
Yeah. So,
really?
But I understand. But I no. That being said, I understand because it is his sad loser face is very funny.
Yeah.
So
we're gonna have to
I
cut
watch
that.
When I watch no. him lose, I'm like, oh God, I feel so bad for Jim. But
are
his
they,
face
so they're
so funny.
So they're so they're actually friends outside of that. That's interesting.
They're very good friends.
Well, yeah, he was busting on him at the leadership bonanza or whatever it was.
Well,
called.
The leadership. Well, that's what made me think. I mean, like. Your dad said some awesome stuff to Jim Boeheim. Stuff that
we
I would
thought
love,
it was awesome.
That I would love to say to Jim Boeheim, but
oh my God!
Oh, it was wonderful.
It was amazing.
The things
but the only
can
way
say
he,
to
that's the only way he could get away with it is because they're friends.
Right.
Like honestly, if he doesn't like you, he does not talk about you. Unless
is that
you,
why he's not talking
you,
about us? Oh my God!
Your dream of drinking wine with Gina.
I'm so insulted.
Come. Do you think he would ever hang out with me?
No.
Maybe.
I won't be weird at all.
Yes, you would.
I won't be that weird.
Allie, how is your view and relationship with the players changed over the years? Like they won their first title when you were 9, so like did you look up to them as like heroes and like how has that changed to now? Like what's your
God, now they're all question. like infants like in my mind like they're so young. I'm like, oh my
yeah.
God, you guys
they're
are
like
babies.
6'5"
like yeah I look up and I'm like, you're 12, but
yeah, it's interesting. Yeah,
you're the tallest 12 year old girl I've ever seen.
But yeah, it kind of went through 3 stages. Like I was really good friends with them, but I looked up to them as like superhumans. Mm-hmm. Then I became actual friends with them when they were all my age, and now I'm just like, oh, like you're my little sisters.
Oh, I like that.
That could murder me if they wanted to.
That's
really efficiently though. And like as a team effort too.
And I guess that's yes. kind of analogous to my experience with just watching UConn players in general, men
yeah.
and women and football players. It's like when you're a kid, like Ray Allen was my hero. He still is.
Kimba Walker's my hero still. I don't care that he's younger than
I
am.
Like,
I want to grow up to
there,
be Kimba.
It was similar. But it was similar. And now I'm just reaching that age where I'm watching these players and I'm like, it's like when you get pissed that they didn't do something right.
That's a kid.
You get pissed at yourself that you got pissed at a kid.
Like, a kid who's playing for free.
Yeah. Yeah.
For free.
It's like going to a high school game and yelling at the players.
Yeah.
Except that these ones have to play on TV.
And these ones
generally... See, I never got pissed. I got sad. So, like, if they lost, I would, like, cry hysterically.
Aww. Well, she's better.
Probably because you knew them personally.
Yeah, like, when we lost in Indianapolis 3 years ago, I was locked in the bathroom of the Indianapolis Coliseum, whatever the hell it was called, for the last 15 minutes of that game, sobbing hysterically.
Aww.
Like, inconsolably crying. And guess who came to get me out of the bathroom?
Shay Ralph.
No, Diane Taurasi.
Oh, that's close.
Close.
My sister.
Shay
my
Ralph
sister
is a good
knocked,
guess, though.
My sister knocked on the door of the bathroom.
And it's Diane
like,
Taurasi.
Please come out. You're fine. And I was like, no, God, I'm a mess. And all of a sudden, I just hear Dee go, Allie, get out of the bathroom. Everything's going to be fine. We're going to walk you back to the hotel. We're going to have a drink. It's going to be fine. And she pulled me out of the bathroom and was like, we're going. We're fine. And she was just. She made me promise not to repeat any of the things she said when we were walking back to the hotel. But needless to say, she did make me laugh quite a bit.
What we were talking about earlier is in like the course of women's basketball, what was interesting with like Taurasi and Moore is they didn't necessarily like look that much different than the other players. It was like, you know, I was using the Michael Jordan analogy in that to pick him out of a lineup of all the like biggest, strongest NBA players, you wouldn't necessarily pick him as the best, but he was just that
right.
much better. Whereas you look at Stewart, and she looks like a complete different person than everyone she's on the court with. Because she's so...
She could palm my face.
She's like, so she long.
She's always palming faces.
I don't believe that that's
I remember
true.
When we were in Nashville, she was talking to some people in the lobby on the day of the Notre Dame game.
Did she palm their faces?
Yeah. On the face. And I went up to give her a hug, and she just like... She was like a spider. Just like her arms are so long. And I said, how are you doing? She was like, I'm doing great. Like, she was so relaxed. I'm like, how are you not having a coronary right now? Like, yeah. But that's her. Like, she's just so like, yep, I'm cool. Like, no big
deal.
It's
nice to just be awesome.
Yeah.
Just going to play some basketball today. It's win a national championship. Yeah. NBD.
It comes through, though, on camera the past 2 years, you know? When I mean, she's clearly the best player on the court in both those title games.
She's just like, whatevs. I got this.
Yeah, completely unfazed.
She's going to win four. I hope she better win four, or I'm going to have to wear a Duke shirt, and that's not a thing.
Oh, that's
you
right.
You made a bet?
I mean, I put it in print. I'm a woman of my
yeah,
word.
Yeah, you did. You did put it in print.
I did.
That's your first mistake. Never print anything.
I only write lies.
Yeah.
Do you follow the recruiting? You probably know, like, all of the secrets about, like, who's a, you know, who sucks for
I
the
mean,
women's.
I feel like Gino's just, like, come to UConn, and they come. Like, if he wants you, like... Most of the time.
The only time I know about recruiting is when dad goes, I'll see you later. I'm going on a recruiting trip. And then he comes back and goes, I may sign this one girl. And then I forget their name 5 minutes later. Like, I'm like, when I was a little kid, like when like he was recruiting D and was recruiting Sue Bird and like Tamika Williams and Swin Cash, like I was very invested because I met them and like when they would do their home visits and like all that kind of stuff. And but now, like, it's just such a different process, and I'm so not involved.
Yeah, he had a very interesting tweet about the new process recently.
Yeah, I have no idea. I have no idea.
That face just, oh, yeah. Oh,
that tweet God. Made me laugh like, so hard. Nobody got it. Nobody got it. They didn't get it.
Nobody got it. Nobody
it was a good joke,
it.
Too. It was a really good joke, and nobody it got was... what he was joking about, and it killed me.
Like, I knew what he was talking about, but I knew, like... As I was clicking on the mentions, I was like, why are you doing this? Like, you know, you're just going to get
some
mad.
Some of them were
all
so
people
great.
Who are just mad. So when I clicked on the mentions, I was just like, are you kidding me? Like, really? So then I was just like, you know, there's a reason why he, like, the reason why he said that was, you know, what I said. Like, he doesn't recruit jerks. And there's just lots of kids out there now who are just not good people. And they're kind of like they're divas, and they want to hear what they want to hear.
What
and
are their names?
Won't give them what they want to hear.
Actually, you know, it's funny you mentioned it because I just recently read something about where Maya Moore, I think it was Maya Moore, said that the reason she went to UConn is because it was the only place where the coach didn't just kiss her ass when she walked in. Like, he's like, no, yeah. you're going to have to work really hard or you're going to sit. And everyone yeah. was just like, oh, you're going to start right away. It'll be just wonderful for you.
Yeah. And that's really something you hear a lot from a lot of really, really great players that have gone through his program where they're like, why did you go to UConn? And like Shea Ralph said it too. She was like, every other school that I went to kissed my ass and said, we're going to make you a star. We're going to do this. We're going to do this. We're going to do this.
That might
and
be Shea Ralph,
he said, I can't promise you anything. I just want you to come and work hard. And that made her go, wow. And there are kids who do not respond to that. They go, nope, I want to go somewhere where I'm going to be coddled. And they go where they're going to be coddled and they don't grow and they don't change and nothing happens to them. And there are a lot of players that I would have loved to have at UConn because I watched them as they went through their years at college and they just didn't change. And they were really good. They were really good. But they had the potential to be amazing, but they just weren't, it just wasn't tapped into.
Hmm.
And that's, you know, and, but then there are other great players that have come through in the last couple of years. My dad would not touch with a 10-foot pole because he just knew their personalities and did not want anything to do with them. So not giving you the names of any.
Yeah. I'm sitting there running through lists in my head. Yeah.
I mean, like, I have a few, like, I'm like, it's probably her.
Yeah,
probably
her.
I
yeah,
I'm
her.
Like, oh, I can see that one, yeah.
Yeah, if, whatever you're thinking of is probably right.
So, Allie, tell us yeah. about your blog. What are you up to on your blog now?
Oh, God. There's really no rhyme or reason to anything that I do on that thing.
It's chaos.
It sounds like us.
Yes.
It's the Thunderdome blog.
I wanted to have more of a regulated schedule, but now it's just like, my writing process is so terrible because I really only write on there when I have something that's so pressing that I have to write something down.
It's pretty much what we do.
So I try to write in there like once a week and I cover a wide variety of things and I kind of go back and forth from different topics and I go really serious one week and I try to like, if I go really serious one week, then I go like really, really like dumb and like funny and all over the place the next week. So I'll do like a blog on body image and then I'll do a blog about reading Twilight and wanting to put my head through a wall. So
thoroughly enjoyed your hate reading. Cause
thank you.
I've done a fair amount of, in fact, I've hate read many of the same books that you have hate read, which
I know
cracks me up. I've done the Twilight, done the 50 Shades.
That's a lot of work. I listen to audiobooks in the car. That's what I
do. Do you hate listen?
I just find it interesting when you're talking about a book.
Fuck
that, like,
you, Tolstoy.
You go to Amazon and they're like, this is the best book I've ever read. And then the next sentence is, and I haven't read a book in 10 years. And then you're like, well, that's why you think it's good. Because you don't know what a good book is.
Well, that's why I'm fascinated by you guys hate reading. I feel like reading is such an intensive process. You know, like I watch horrible movies because I can do other things while I do them.
It's very passive.
But the amount of commitment it takes to hate read an entire book is very impressive to me.
I just hate.
Well, I think that
I
just
think out of morbid curiosity. Like,
I think what kept me going was people saying to me, "This is funny. Don't stop." So, I think and people were saying to me, "Like, why are you reading them if you hate them?" And I'm like, "Because I think my reactions to them are funny, and
I don't need to explain my art to you.
I'm naturally kind of a comedian, so I just want to make people laugh. So." I kind of was billing it as like, I'm doing this for you, so you don't have to.
It was a public service.
What I ended up doing when I did the Twilight series on my blog was I did like things I've learned from the Twilight saga. And so one of them was, if you want to add drama to a sentence, put in ellipses. And another one was like, if a guy is really controlling, it means he likes you. And I just like was like, doing all these different things, like things that I learned, like, oh, I never thought of that before. But by the end, I was so mad that I was just my part two of the Twilight review was basically just like lots of gifs from different things. So like
you made a BuzzFeed post,
kind of because like one of them was there was a thing from the fourth book that was about this girl gets turned into a werewolf and then she says it's because she's barren and it turns into this whole thing like basically that if you're barren you're a monster and like that's like the the moral message. Of the story.
Oh my God.
The relationship Twilight up, has with Berth is so fucked up.
I ended up just putting gif after gif of Ron Swanson just like yelling.
I think that's as good a message as if your boyfriend's really controlling, that means he really likes you.
Oh, they're so awful.
Hey everybody, this is Tyler taking a break in the action here to give you a fair warning that the next 10 to 15 minutes is all soccer talk. Not something you'd probably expect on the A Dime Bag podcast, but it happened. It's on tape, so why the hell not? If it's not your thing, feel free to skip. There's nothing after it. And we may post a part two. We may not, depending on how lazy we are. But enjoy the soccer talk, and if not, we'll see you next time.
I love how soccer is getting so big over here.
Do you want
here.
To talk about soccer for a while? Because I love soccer.
Okay, I have to clarify this, okay? There's a little bit of a history here. I played soccer when
like
I was a kid, and then
the East Coast.
My sister's husband played soccer and is also a soccer ref. So I got into soccer a lot from him four or five years ago, but I didn't really support any particular team. I just was like, oh, soccer's on, I'll watch it. And I watched the World Cup and all that kind of stuff. And then I started dating my boyfriend, who's a huge Liverpool fan.
Oh, boy.
And
I'm going to see them on Wednesday.
Stop it. Oh, I'm so jealous. We saw them when they went to Fenway like 2 years ago. But I'd never really gotten into like the mythology of a football club and the history and all that kind of stuff until then. And then I got into Liverpool. And then when we went to the Olympics 2 years ago, we got to go up
oh,
to
man,
Liverpool.
Oh, man, you get to go to the Olympics. That's so cool.
Yes.
That's a nice little drop.
And we got
drop.
To go to Anfield. Fun, yeah. And I just remember walking around Anfield and being like, whoa.
It's like a cathedral, yeah.
Aside from being like in Gamble, like I'd never been in a building where there was just like, it was like history was just like punching you in the face. It was just so.
It was almost like a religious experience
in a weird way. And
I get that. I totally get that.
So I'm a big Liverpool fan.
Okay. So I made a resolution after this World Cup. I'm like, this is it. I'm in. Like, I'm going to do it. I'm good. You know, cause I'm like, I'm totally about like, fuck American football right now. So, cause I'm done.
Except for Bob Diaco. He's cool.
Well, sure. Yeah. Bob Diaco. He's great.
Bob Diaco is great.
Go. Oh, is he? Okay, cool. Good. That's good to know.
I haven't met him yet. I'm just assuming because I find.
Because he's
I think
so
he's
handsome.
He's great looking.
But I have room in my life for another sport right now. So I'm starting
I can
to get,
fit it in.
I can fit it in.
You know? I will say, as long as you don't root for Manchester United or Chelsea, you're okay.
I'm leaning Liverpool
I
right
love
now.
This girl.
Liverpool. Yes.
Seriously, can we talk about how much Chelsea sucks?
Watch Chelsea.
Who would be a Chelsea fan?
So I'm playing FIFA 14 right
Someone
now.
Someone terrible would
Duke
be
fans. Duke fans are also Chelsea
Duke
fans.
Duke fans would be Chelsea fans.
Yeah.
Yes.
Colors are
I
similar.
Have a friend. I have a few friends who are Chelsea fans. They're like,
they're
like
not the good
bros.
Friends.
Dude bros are Chelsea fans.
Ugh. And Brick.
Yeah. And really cool people are Liverpool fans. I will say, though, that this whole thing like with I watched the England-Uruguay game during the World Cup.
I watched that game.
Me too.
And I have a borderline obsessive crush on Steven Gerrard, who plays for Liverpool.
Oh, he's attractive.
He's extremely good-looking, and he's very, very talented. And
all of the good things.
And all of the goals for Uruguay were being scored by Luis Suarez, who at the time was still playing for Liverpool. So
right.
I was like, okay, well, that's good for you. And then the whole thing with him getting bit happened. With him biting someone,
again.
Not getting bit. With him biting somebody.
One of the Azzurri.
And he bit an Italian guy. I was like, are you kidding? and I remember
Some
thinking
bullshit.
To myself,
who can resist an Italian sub?
I know, right?
That was my Twitter name. We use that on
my
Twitter.
Favorite,
that, or,
my
not
favorite
Twitter,
one that I saw Trivia. Online was it a gluten-free Italian sub? I was like, that's awesome. But
we
I just remember
I mean,
I'd
take a bite out of an Italian sub as our trivia team name that night. It was great.
It's the only sad part is he started. He was a starter.
Yeah.
I just remember thinking, I don't know how I'm going to root for Liverpool if this guy is still on the team because
then,
he just.
And then they got rid of him.
And then they got rid of him. And I was
got
like,
him and his teeth.
Him again. And they bought, and they just got a ton of guys him from Sunderland and Southampton. So I am completely okay. We're in the Champions League this year. We should have won the Premier League last
really,
year.
They
we
should
didn't,
have.
And it was yeah. really upsetting.
That was no good.
Very poor.
We watched couple of draws.
So much Boxing Day soccer this year. So much.
Yeah.
Oh, Boxing Day soccer is the best.
Well, Luis Suarez and his weird Freddie Mercury teeth are gone.
Bye, dude.
I know. He's so talented, but you know what?
He's one of the four best strikers in the world.
There is a really
it's going to be a lot of fun to watch him with Messi and Neymar.
Of whom the three of the four best strikers in the world are on Barcelona.
Yeah.
It's going to be weird. Well, and the thing is, like, I like Messi a lot. I really like Messi.
Love Messi. Well, I love Messi. I love him because he's so...
Ronaldo.
Like, everybody just wants him to be, like, for better or worse, everybody keeps comparing him to Maradona. And he's just like this he just seems like the normalest dude.
He doesn't dive, which I appreciate.
He doesn't dive. He doesn't do any. He's not a
diva.
Doesn't
bite people.
He just plays.
To my knowledge, and Leo Messi has never bitten a guy on the field.
And I watched an interview that they did with him on ESPN. And they were like, you know, what do you think about, you know, the pressure and all that kind of stuff? And I think they wanted like that dramatic, like Maradona, like soundbite from him. And he was just like, I just want to play. And I just like to play and have fun, and I like to represent my country. And you could tell they were like,
sick goals all the
these
time.
These aren't exciting sound bites.
They're frothing at the mouth.
He's like the Derek Jeter of soccer.
Except yeah, better. He's just kind of like, yep, I just like to play. And they're like, oh, okay.
He's like the Derek Jeter.
And I remember watching that interview and being like, I like him. He seems like not a crazy diva person, which is which is good.
He's like the Derek Jeter of soccer if Derek Jeter was Lou Gehrig.
Yeah. All right.
I mean,
he's the Derek Jeter.
So,
are you
saying
that
Messi's
going to
die soon?
No.
Dude, that's fucked up. That guy's got a family. Messi. They could hear this.
I'm sorry.
They listen.
But yeah, it
they
is
going
to be interesting to see him play with those guys on Barcelona. And I'm glad he's not in the Premier League anymore, just because I know that if he had been on another team in the Premier League,
he'd score 10 goals against Liverpool.
Yeah, he would have kicked
him. And then bite a guy.
We'd be screwed. But, I'm just glad that, yeah, so I'm glad he's out of the league in that respect. But, you know, I just find the whole thing to be so, that whole thing was so ridiculous. And I just was, and I remember at one point after that happened, I remember tweeting like, how easy is it to not bite somebody?
It's, I mean, I'm doing it all the time.
I know, that's what I said. I was like, I do it all the time. Look, I'm right here. I'm not biting anyone. Like, it's so easy to just not bite somebody.
And apparently not for him. Like, I mean, like once it's is tough. Happenstance, twice is coincidence, three times is
fucking crazy.
Well,
I just love the
crazy.
Fact that he said that they ran into each other.
I collided. He collided with my teeth.
He collided with my teeth. But then you see the replay, and yeah, they collided, but then you deliberately see his head go like, into Kelechi's shoulder and just take a chomp. And then you can see, my favorite part of that, though, was after that when the guy, I think it was...
Cellini,
that was it. Goes up to the ref and like shows him his shoulder, like look what this guy did to me. And a Uruguayan player comes up and yanks his shirt back up.
No, no,
like,
don't look at this.
Hiding it.
There's nothing
and I'm
there.
Like, really?
These are not the bike marks
really,
we're looking for.
Really, really, you know, slick and like no one's noticing.
He got that tattoo just right before the game, just to.
It's not a real bite mark, guys.
To sway the whole match.
Oh my god, it was just that whole thing. And I mean, I didn't. That was like the one game of that round that I didn't watch. Because I was at a conference that week, and I just remember I was looking at like updates on my phone, and then the minute I saw like Suarez appears to have bitten, I was like, "Oh, are you kidding
like,
me?"
Like, how did this?
Well, I mean, I remember yeah. like real. The commentators like, "Surely not again."
I think it was Ian Dark.
Yeah, it was the Dark Man.
Oh, by the way, he's fantastic.
I love him.
I enjoy him.
I want him to do commentary on everything.
Like, it'd be great for like a basketball game. Wouldn't that be fun to get some?
The
like...
thing I love about when Steve McManaman and Ian Dark do a game together, they talk so much shit. Like if a player makes just a dreadful play, he really should have done better there.
Or they'll talk about the ref. Like I really don't know what the ref was looking at there. You know,
he's on another planet today.
Oh, you guys are doing it. British accents right now.
I liked how everything was clever.
Yeah, and that's the other thing.
Everything
about
is clever.
And being dispossessed. That's one of my favorite
to call
things.
Every game ever, and I want the Men in Blazers guys to like.
I love the Men
life.
In Blazers so much. Do you guys watch the Men in Blazers?
Of course we watch the Men in Blazers. I watch
God,
the Men in Blazers.
Love no.
They're two guys who wear blazers and tell jokes while doing soccer analysis.
They're
that's
hilarious.
Great.
They're so funny.
Oh my
and
God, they're perfect.
It's like our podcast, but with analysis.
They made a joke the other day because somebody said to them, like, because they kept going, no sleep till Russia, because, like, you know, the 2018 World Cup's in Russia. And they kept going, you know, no sleep till 2018. And somebody, like, tweeted at them being like, hey, you know, there's a World Cup next year. and they were like, "Yeah, we're gonna drive around." They said we're gonna drive around Canada in like a trailer van or something like that, like, and make a new panic room. I was like, "You better do all the World Cup stuff for next year as well."
That sounds fantastic,
phenomenal. I would love it. They're so funny. You can see them all on the internet. They're like,
tell them watch ESPN.com.
Yeah,
wow.
ESPN.com and like ESPN FC.
So good.
They're like
so
soccer good. Website. Yeah. They're hilarious. There's like a couple 4-minute ones, and then there's like half hour segments that are so funny.
They're in
this little room.
In the
ESPN studios in Brazil, and they nicknamed the room Bob Lee's Panic Room. It's so funny.
When Bob Lee actually came on, like after the US team lost, and they're like, "We need a cuddle." Like they're literally like getting a cuddle from Bob Lee. It was
And they're like covered in USA stuff, and yeah. They're just like so sad. I'm so sad. I just need a hug, and probably like it's just like cuddling them. It's yeah. so cute.
In FIFA World Cup Brazil, for like the video game, when you do like a career mode, you can set it so they're the soundtrack.
Oh yeah.
And like they do funny analysis, and like they compare like who are the best players ever at positions. But I play as the US, obviously, because I'm American.
Like,
best goalie of all time, Tony Miola. I was like, really? That's what we came up with. The mullet man.
Hey, he was around.
He was. He was around.
He was good.
He was around.
He had a great mullet, but I don't know if he's the best goalkeeper ever.
Well, now the U.S. has an answer for who's the greatest U.S. goalkeeper of all time.
Oh, Timmy.
Do
Hard.
They, though?
Hey.
Timmy Harden, your badass beard.
Had some good ones.
So manly.
I love him. Oh. I love everything. I just.
All of his tattoos.
Casey Keller. Huh?
That game was just so absurd. It just.
Unreal.
And the fact that he didn't get the Golden Gloves just made me so
upset.
But I knew the guy from Germany was going to get it. So.
Well, you kind of, generally speaking, I found if you don't make the semis, you don't get anything.
He didn't even like,
I know,
make the finals.
Which is upsetting.
Just not.
Well,
nonsense.
And I mean, James Rodriguez really should have gotten the Golden Ball.
Yeah. Yeah, he got player of the tournament, though, right?
What's that?
No, Messi got player of the tournament.
Messi, the Golden Ball is player of the tournament.
And Rodriguez got the Golden Boot.
Which
because
is
he had
most goals. But Rodriguez really was the best player in the tournament.
Yeah, I agree. Messi had the more dramatic goals, but Rodriguez definitely was the best player of the tournament.
Right,
he scored with a friggin' praying mantis on his shoulder. So you know,
God, that picture is messed up. Have you guys seen?
It's horrifying.
Just giant.
But that goal where he trapped it at the top of the box and volleyed it into that was maybe the goal of the tournament.
This is going to be a really weird. We haven't talked
goal,
about men's basketball.
This
at
is going to be a weird podcast. Yeah.
Hey, we're being topical. We're talking about the World Cup that just ended
2 weeks ago.
In the scope of World Cups that are only once every 4 years, 2 weeks ago is like yesterday.
Yeah, this is topical. This is very topical.
It's topical enough.
We just like soccer.
Poor
Tyler, I had to listen to Peter and I like go off about Jurgen Klinsmann.
We're not going
to
talk about
Landon
Donovan because that's going to be the rest of the
night. No, I'm not. We're not going to talk about Landon Donovan.
Moving on.
Yeah.
I won't do that to anyone.
All right. We should let you go, Allie.
Okay.
You have to phone with us for an
hour. I told you to budget half an hour. It's been 85 minutes.
Whatever.
And 2 hours. And
us.
2 hours of completely
problem.
Wasted time.
I had such a good time.
Thank you so much, Allie. We appreciate it. All right, everybody. That's it for today. Thank you for listening to the Dying Bad podcast. We'll be back shortly. In the meantime, look out for the Franken tournament, also known as the NCAA tournament, which will be coming soon. And you can read all of our new exciting football coverage from Russ and women's coverage from the rest of us. All right, everybody. Thanks.
Later, baby.